I tell my clueless mate, relishing his horrified look. I feel his pain. That month after the twins were born was the longest fucking month of my life. Giving him a slap in the shoulder, I sigh, raising my hand and gesturing some wanking action. Meet your new best friend. He groans and slips his arm around Kate's shoulders. It's a good job I love this crazy woman. Let's get coffee before I fall asleep here and now. We start to wander toward the small cafe at the end of the corridor. Kate wobbling along with the help of a very attentive Sam, me and Ava following. I look down at her, finding her thoughtful. I'm speaking before my brain engages. You know, if you wanted another. I have absolutely no fucking clue where that just came from. What the actual fuck? Who put those words in my mouth? I know who, that bastard thing called decency. Or is it guilt? Desperation? I don't know, but what I do know is that if she really, really wanted to have another baby, I'd find a way to deal with it. If only just so she could be pregnant and remember it again. To go through birth and have that experience to remember. To be a mother to a baby and a toddler. To have the first tooth and the first day of school. Pain churns in my gut. It's only now it dawns on me just how much she's missing from our children's lives. And while I would love nothing more than for her to have those memories back, I have to accept that they may not come. So maybe I could give her some in another way. Am I being gallant? Or have I completely lost the plot? I conclude quite speedily that it's the latter. What the hell am I thinking? The sweat beads on my brow are instant. Don't worry, Ava chuckles, clearly noticing my suddenly awkward form. I don't. Thank fuck, I breathe, all kinds of relieved. I don't think I've ever suggested anything so dumb. I'm 50, for fuck's sake. I'm done making babies. Chapter 42. We're back to silence as we sit outside Ava's doctor's office. My foot nervously tapping the carpet until Ava's forced to reach forward and place a firm hand on my knee to stop it. I'm sorry, I sigh, taking a hand and bringing it to my mouth, kissing the back. My knee starts going loopy again, adrenaline making it bounce. I can't stop it. Ava sighs, exasperated, jumping up and sitting on my lap, a last-ditch attempt to get my shakes under control. It's a ridiculous plan. Her weight. My strength. She starts jerking away on my lap like she could be vibrating. Fucking hell, Jesse. My trembles stop just like that. Will you watch your fucking mouth? Her swearing won't help me, and neither does her insolence in the form of rolling eyes. Ava Ward! Someone calls from behind us before I can unleash more displeasure on her, and I look to see Dr. Peters standing in his office door. He smiles, taking in the sight of my lap full of Ava. Please, come in. We walk into his office and take a seat in front of his desk. I flick Ava a look, trying to read her disposition once again. She looks perfectly cool, content even. How are you, Ava? The doctor asks, slipping his glasses on and scanning her medical file on his desk.
I'm good,
she replies quickly, reaching for my hand and squeezing. And the headaches? He looks up over his glasses and smiles a little, noting our held hands.
They've subsided.
He starts jotting down notes. What about physical movements? Your coordination, for example. All I see in my mind's eye is Ava's hand finding my cock with perfectly steady hands. Her coordination is just fine, though I refrain from telling the doc that. She still has a slight limp, I say, knowing Ava won't. And her head is still fragile around the wound.
To be expected.
He gets up and circles his desk, taking a small penlight and bending to shine it in Ava's eyes. And your sensory functions? I raise my brows and Ava flicks a coy look my way.
I can feel, see, smell, hear, and taste.
I smile back at her despite it being inappropriate. I'll vouch for that. I flip her a wink, letting my muscles relax for the first time since I walked into his office. Good. He slips the light into his jacket pocket and checks the site of her head injury, nodding happily before checking her leg. He returns to his chair. Any breakthroughs in your memories? Resting back, he taps his pen in the palm of his spare hand. She shrugs, glancing at me. Small things here and there? Well, no matter how small or insignificant they may seem, they're all important. Another smile. Your symptoms are classic to traumatic amnesia, Ava. I'm very hopeful that given time and your patience, your memories will return. The brain is an immensely complex organ, and the function of our memories engages many different parts of it. In your case, a blow to the head has damaged the structure of your brain, and the limbic system which controls your emotions and memories. Patience. The stuff I'm not well furnished with. Obviously, we're focusing on retrieving your memories, Ava. But may I ask how you see your future? I feel my forehead furrow with a frown, and I look across to Ava. She's staring at the doctor, seeming just as confused by his question as me. I'm sorry, I don't follow, she tells him. Good. Me either. I redirect my attention across the desk to find the doctor smiling again. All these smiles are beginning to irritate me. What's there to be so pleased about? It's common for sufferers of amnesia to find it hard to imagine their future when so much of their past is missing. The past and our futures are linked heavily in our memories and the people in our lives, so it's common for patients to struggle with the prospect of their future. Ava is not struggling with the prospect of a future, I pipe up, unable to stop myself. What is he suggesting? For the first time, the doctor looks wary of me. Good, he should be. Ava, he says, keeping his eyes on me. I don't see my future, she says quietly, and I throw a look her way, deeply injured and very worried. What? I feel it more than see it, she finishes. With Jesse and the twins. It's hard to explain. She shakes her head, frustrated. At first, I was frightened and confused. I didn't know him. I shrink into the chair, my hand coming up to my forehead and rubbing gently. But it didn't take long for me to realize that I do know him. Every sense I have recognizes him. Even if my stupid brain doesn't. And as for my children, I feel like I have a huge piece of me missing right now, and it isn't the memories, it's them. Their presence. I close my eyes and swallow, feeling the doctor looking at me, judging me. I swear to God, if he passes comment on my way of dealing with this, I'll launch his ass across the hospital. I understand. Dr. Peters replies quietly, going back to his pad. When are the children home? I clear my throat and pull myself together, pushing back my anger. They're on their way now. That's good. The sooner Ava gets back to real life, the better. Routine is key. Going to his computer, he starts tapping away on the keyboard. Try to weave some relaxed time into that routine. There are a few ways we could move forward. I would recommend an occupational therapist who can work with you to acquire new information to replace some of your lost memories. A personal digital assistant may be helpful, too, in helping you with day-to-day life. A personal assistant? I ask, trying my damn hardest not to sound affronted. I know I fail when Ava squeezes my hand, her way of pleading with me to keep my cool. I'm struggling. She doesn't need a personal assistant. She has me. That Mr. Ward, you're misunderstanding. I'm talking about a device of some sort, a phone or iPad. There's some really helpful apps that would be great for Ava. The doctor leaves his keyboard and hands me a pile of pamphlets, which I take slowly. Ava will want to gain some independence back, I'm sure. He looks at Ava, though I don't. All she needs is me. She may forget things, Small things that happened just the day before or even an hour. It's common. He smiles reassuringly, though I'm far from reassured. There have been a few occasions when she's forgotten things. Small things. Things I've told her that have disappeared from her mind and I've had to tell her again. With the help of a smartphone or similar, Ava can set herself reminders for key commitments, make notes, etc., to help her with everyday tasks. I'm sure she doesn't want to rely on you for everything. And it's important for her to have a sense of self-awareness and worth. She has to get back to her life, whether the memories come or do not. I'm fucking staggered. Are you suggesting I just leave her to figure this all out on her own? The man's a twat. Dr. Peters smiles. I'm close to wiping it from his face. Mr. Ward, if there is one thing I know for sure, it's that you will never let her figure it out all on her own. But you must give her space to breathe. With that, he stands, and it's all I can do not to jump across the desk and take him out. Is he having a dig? I'd like to see you again in a few weeks, Ava. Have a look at the literature I've given your husband. There are support groups available to you, people you can talk with who are in the same boat. We'll discuss it at your next appointment once you've had a chance to read the information. Support group. Meet new people who understand. I'm hating this more and more each minute. She doesn't need new people, she has me. I'm her support. Ava's up before I am, encouraging me to stand. Thank you. Very welcome. I don't thank him, but rather wander out silently, my head ringing. Space to breathe. That's never been my strong point, and it's something Ava has gotten used to. I'm set in my ways, and changing that has proven tricky since the moment she came around. I've struggled, but held out hope that it was temporary, that we would return to our normal eventually. The prospect of having to adapt and permanently change my ways is daunting, and I honestly question whether I'm capable. Where does that leave us? Chapter 43. The journey home is silent, uncomfortable. I draw breath a thousand times to ask Ava what's whirling around in her mind, but each time I think better of it. Maybe because I'm worried about what she might say. Does she want more space? Does she think I'm crowding her too much? Does she hate me for sending the kids away so I could focus on discovering us again? Question after question mounts until my head is pounding. Ava? I'm interrupted by her phone ringing, and she answers rather than letting it ring off and giving me her attention. My hands flex around the steering wheel, irritation heating my bloodstream. Hi. She sounds happy all of a sudden. Yes, definitely. She laughs and I frown, wondering who's on the line. Kate's in hospital. I'll see you there. She hangs up and looks at me. What were you going to say? My mind is blank. Who was that? Oh, Zara. She slips her phone into a bag. Zara, the friend from yoga. The woman putting stupid ideas in my wife's head about getting another job. You must meet her, she's fab. I bite my tongue before we end up in an argument. It's probably best I never meet Zara. I can't guarantee I'll hold back from putting her straight in a few things. Sure. When we pull up the driveway, I'm about to unleash some of the questions mounting, but Ava speaks first, stopping me in my tracks. Whose car is that? She asks, pointing forward, spurring me to look. Ava's parents' Land Rover is parked up, and the front door is wide open. The kids are home. Excitement mixed with apprehension swirls in my gut as I roll to a stop. I have no idea how this will play out, how Ava will be. How will the kids be? You okay? Yeah. Her answer is quiet as she gets out of the car, hovering by the door for a few moments after she shut it. I remain in my seat, bracing myself for the reunion. I mustn't get emotional. I mustn't give the kids any cause to worry. On a deep breath, I exit the car and circle it to collect Ava. She smiles at me when I take her hand. Ready? Her inhale is far deeper than mine. Ready, she confirms, letting me lead her up to the front door. Each step she takes is measured, each breath audible. She's doing exactly what I'm doing, bracing herself. The hallway is a mess of bags and shoes, the house alive with the sounds of the twins from the kitchen. It's normal. Peeking down at Ava as we head toward the sounds, I find her smiling. A certain new lease of life in her eyes. That life gives me life, too. And I squeeze her hand, prompting her to look up at me. Just tell me if it gets too much, I say. If you need some breathing space. From you or the children? She asks, and a cheeky hitch of her brows. My scowl is playful as I drop her hand and wrap an arm around her shoulder. Sarcasm doesn't suit you, lady. So you keep telling me. We enter the kitchen to find the kids sitting at the island while Ava's mum faffs around the space and Joseph follows, taking orders. Maddie is on her iPad. Jacob has his finger wedged in a jar of peanut butter. It's like they were never gone. We both stand in the doorway for a few moments, silent and taking in the scene. Because it's chaos, and it's normal, and it's beautiful. Kids are home, I quip, and Ava chuckles a little, looking up at me with eyes full of love. Thank you for the time we've had together. Leaning up, she pushes her lips into my cheek. It's truly been some of the best in my life. I don't know whether the twinge in my heart is hurt or happiness. We've had some amazing times in our lives, and she can't remember any of them. Mum! Dad! Maddie's off the stool like a whippet racing toward us. I watch as she throws her arms around Ava's body and hugs her fiercely, Jacob soon joining in. Charming, I grumble, giving them each a rub of their heads. You miss me too, right? Neither of them breaks free of Ava, and I don't hold it against them. Besides, I'm taking too much satisfaction and pleasure from watching the mother of my children embracing their attack. Her eyes closed, her arms around their backs, her face buried in the tops of their heads. She's smelling them, breathing them in. I don't think I've ever seen anything so wonderful. Glimpsing up at me, Ava smiles faintly, and I see a bit of apprehension in her dark brown eyes. I wink at her, my own silent way of telling her she's doing great. Releasing her hold of Maddie, Ava motions for me to go to her, and as soon as I'm in touching distance, she pulls me in and I surround them all with my arms. My wife and my children. My world all bundled safely in my arms. I have to swallow repeatedly to keep myself together. The twins, usually allergic to any kind of affection from me unless they want something, stay put, uncomplaining. Until Ava and I are ready to release them. It's a job and a half, but I finally find the will to pull out, letting them all breathe again. Though my breath is still short, my heart still thumping. Overwhelmed. I'm so fucking overwhelmed. Ava's mother and father move in only once I've broken up our cluster of bodies, and Elizabeth nods at me as she takes Ava in a hug. How are you, darling? The doctor's very happy with my progress, she replies, because that's all there is to say. I'm just glad the kids are back and we can try to get on with things. Joseph moves in and shakes my hand as the kids stand close by, their faces eager for some information. What to tell them has my mind twisting. Good to see you, Jesse, Joseph says, following up his handshake with a firm slap to my shoulder. How are the kids? Terrible, he mutters, though his tone is joking. Disobedient, no manners, and constantly moaning. Oh, Joseph, Elizabeth laughs, giving my arm a little rub as she passes me. I noticed you had nothing in the cupboard, so I popped to the supermarket. She starts emptying bags, stocking up the fridge. Milk? Bread? Thanks, Mum. I point Ava to a stool. Sit. She settles at the island while I help Elizabeth unload the groceries, and I listen as Ava walks the kids through everything the doctor just told us. She smiles the whole time, telling them she's happy and they should be too. And now I have you two back, we can do exactly that, she chirps. Get back to normal. What about your memories? Jacob asks, reclaiming his peanut butter. Will they ever come back? The doctor is very positive, Ava replies, looking up at me. And if we don't, then we make new ones. I smile, despite myself, feeling Elizabeth's hand on my arm. I look at my mother-in-law and see encouragement reflecting back at me. Thank you for having them, I say, sincerely. To which she smacks my arm before taking the empty carrier bag from my hand. Shut up, she orders, stuffing it in the bin. I roll my eyes, wandering over to my wife and kids and getting in on the excited conversation. I put myself behind Ava and curl my arms around her waist, resting my chin on her shoulder. Her hands land on mine and she cranes her neck to get me in her sights. Oh, Dad, please, Maddie sighs, losing all interest in the conversation and going back to her iPad, whereas Jacob looks completely and utterly thrilled by my public display of affection. Of course he is. It's normal for Dad to be all over Mum. He grins around his peanut butter-covered finger, his attention set firmly on us. Ava sighs, leaning back into me a little. It feels right already, she says, looking a little sad, like she now appreciates how much she's missed them. Because it is right. I kiss her hair before breaking away. Now, what am I doing for dinner? I get three different menu choices thrown at me all at once, and I smile, because this is us. Chapter 44. It takes me 1 second flat to figure out what's not right when my brain wakes the next morning. Ava's not in bed with me. Then another second to break into a panic. Where is she? And another second to get myself out of bed and out of the bedroom. I sprint around the landing and down the stairs like a loon skidding into the kitchen. I find Maddie at the island eating her breakfast. Oh my God! Her horrified screech pierces my ears. Her spoon halfway to her mouth. Her eyes are wide for the brief moment I see them before she swings back around on a stool away from me. Seriously, Dad? For a moment, I'm confused. Then I register the reason for her alarm. On a cringe, I look down my front. My naked front. Shit. Where's your mum? I ask, taking my hands to my groin and cupping myself. I die a little in the inside, though I don't beat a hasty retreat. I'm too worried. Her arm shoots out toward the utility room, just as Ava appears with a basket of washing in her hands. I get the same reaction from my wife as I do from my daughter. The basket full of washing hits the ground, followed by a shriek. Jesse, what the hell? Ava snatches a tea towel off the counter and rushes over, making quick work of covering me up. You weren't in bed, I snap, letting loose an unhappy scowl. I was worried. Dark chocolate strands of hair frame her face as she gives me a tired look. The kids are back at school today. I needed a head start. You should have woken me up. I just had 20 heart attacks between here and the bedroom, Ava. You were tired. I'm not tired, I retort, while she continues to arrange the small square of cloth over my nether regions. Never leave our bed without telling me. You'll kill me off. Stop being so dramatic. While she's down there determinedly trying to conceal my dignity, her hand brushes the underside of my cock, waking the frisky fucker up. I inhale sharply, as does Ava, watching as the material moves with the help of my growing erection. Biting her lip furiously, she shakes her head, and here we are, back to that blessed thing called self-control. For fuck's sake, I mumble under my breath. Are there any shorts in that basket? Snapping to life, Ava darts across to where she abandoned the washing and rifles through. Here. She pulls out a black pair and chucks them across to me. Making sure Maddie remains facing away from me, I replace the pathetic towel with the shorts. I'm decent, baby girl, I tell her.
You're so embarrassing.
I plonk myself in the stool next to her and chuck the tea towel at Ava. It hits her in the chest and falls to the floor, her hands not even coming up to try to catch it, because she's too busy indulging in my chest. I pout and look down my fine front, peeking up at her through my lashes. Breakfast? I ask, my question bringing her eyes to mine. They roll as she picks up the basket, before warily flicking to our daughter.
Behave,
she mouths, disappearing back into the utility room. I laugh under my breath. Behave? Never. How long have you been up? I call, searching the island for a pot of coffee. No coffee. 6:30, Ava replies, as I make my way to the coffee machine and fire it up, not allowing the fact that it's not prepared already to bother me. But Maddie was down here before me. She was? I look back at my daughter in a raised brow, and she shrugs around her mouthful of cereal. She usually needs a rocket up her ass to get her out of bed.
Thought I could get my own breakfast this morning.
I smile fondly, flipping her a wink. Good girl. She's trying to help. Anything to lessen the pressure on Ava's shoulders. I'm about to switch on the coffee maker when I hear cursing from the utility room. I sigh and look up at the ceiling. Lord, give me strength. Ava, I warn. My day isn't getting off to the best start. Heart attacks. Swearing.
Shit, it can't be that hard.
I hear her grumble as I head her way, finding her staring at the washing machine. I won't tell you again. Watch your damn mouth, I hiss, resting my shoulder on the door as she stares at the buttons embellishing the front, completely ignoring me. What's up? She sighs. I don't know how to use the washing machine. She proceeds to smack buttons on the front and twist knobs randomly, getting increasingly annoyed.
How hard can it be?
I join her by the machine and take her hand gently before she breaks the damn thing. Take it easy, I say, all soothingly. We'll figure it out together. I bend and scan the millions of buttons on the front, Ava joining me. Jesus, what do they all do? What's all this rinse and spin business? I bite the corner of my lip, wondering where the manual might be.
You don't know how to use it, do you?
She says, a little teasingly. I honestly don't. Not a fucking clue, I admit unashamedly, slowly casting my eyes to hers. The washing has always been your area of expertise.
You cheeky bastard,
she gasps, outraged, smacking my arm. Mouth. Shut up. And what's your area of expertise? My irritation dissipates, and I laugh, seizing her and mauling her neck for a few precious moments, sneakily flexing my hips into hers. What do you think my area of expertise is? She chuckles and tries to swap me away, with little success. I have a firm hold, and I'm not letting go. So you're good for one thing and one thing alone. Picking her up, I sit her on the counter and take her hips. Her smile is dreamy, gorgeous, and her eyes bright, considering the time of day. I'm an expert at most things I do. I'm not boasting, I am. I tug her forward until her crotch hits mine, reawakening my dick. I look down and sigh. Oh, dear. Oh, dear, she counters, pulling my face up and covering my mouth with hers, encasing my naked shoulders in her arms. Good fucking morning, and welcome home. I need to get the kids ready for school, she murmurs, nipping the end of my tongue. Right on cue, we hear the sleepy call of Jacob from the kitchen. They're snogging in the utility room, Maggie informs him tiredly. Looks like we're back to normal.
Back to normal? Not quite. But knowing the kids get reassurance from seeing me and Ava up to our old tricks does something sweet to me. Is it that simple for them? Just to have their mum and dad here together, loving each other, being their normal selves, even if we're not. I was starting to feel guilty about sending them away. Now I'm more sure than ever that I did the right thing by them. Those first few days after I brought Ava home were hell. The emotions, the screaming, the distress. I wouldn't want them to see their mum so lost and their dad so hopeless. That time with us alone was precious. It was needed. For Ava to discover who I am and what I stand for, and for her to accept it. And she does. Thankfully, she does. I'm pulled from my thoughts by a gentle tap on my shoulder, and I breathe in, looking into the eyes that have ruled me from day one. I spend a few moments rearranging her dark waves over her shoulders, before picking her up off the counter and setting her on her feet. You are relieved of duty. I swat her ass and send her on her way, her coy look over her shoulder doing nothing to help the situation behind my shorts. I flash her a warning look, but she just grins in the way she does. As soon as she's gone, I give the washing machine a good whack and nod, satisfied, when I hear water rushing into the drum. "Morning, Mum," I hear Jacob chime when Ava enters the kitchen, me following behind. He's scanning the boxes of cereal on the island, all six of them. Ava must have got every type we have from the pantry, covering all angles, I guess. "Where's my favorite?" he asks. All angles except Jacob's favorite. Ava's face falls, along with my heart, and Maddie gives her brother a quick kick in the shin. "Stupid," she snipes. I die a little on the inside when Ava looks across at me, her eyes watering. It's nothing. I shoot to the cupboard and snatch down Jacob's Pop-Tarts, quickly shoving two in the toaster. "See? Done." "I'm sorry, Mum." My boy's face is so remorseful, and I'm torn between comforting him or going to Ava. My decision is made for me when Ava hastily escapes from the kitchen. My shoulders drop, and I look to the kids as they watch their mum rush away, her hands wiping at her face. Fucking hell. After a quick reassuring rub of their heads, I go after Ava, finding her in the downstairs bathroom, snatching tissue from the roll. "Ava, baby." I step in and close the door behind me. It's no big deal. My heart cracks clean in two when she turns to face me, her bottom lip quivering, tears rolling down her cheeks. "I don't even know what my son's favorite breakfast is." Her voice cracks and her chin drops. What kind of mother am I? That right there sends me into the realms of crazy mad before I can stop it. My hand reaching forward and snatching away the tissue that's on its way to her face. "You stop that now," I order, more harshly than I meant. Her wide eyes watch me warily, the tears still streaming down her cheeks. Crowding her, I grab her face and push my forehead to hers, drilling into her with pissed-off eyes. "Never, ever doubt your abilities as a mother. Do you hear me?" She nods. "Good." I push my lips to hers and kiss her hard. "Now wipe those eyes and get your ass back in that kitchen." "Okay." She doesn't argue or protest, sniffing back her emotion and pulling herself together. "Can I have the tissue back?" "No." I take my thumbs and drag them across her cheeks, clearing up the evidence of her tears. "Off you go." Turning her by her shoulders, I walk her back to the kitchen, only releasing her after I've squeezed a little reassurance into her with a flex of my hands. She nods in understanding and goes to the cupboard to get a plate for Jacob, taking his Pop-Tarts from the toaster and sliding them across the island to him. "Thanks, Mum." He bites his lip, flicking his eyes to me nervously. "What?" Ava asks, looking to me too. "Nothing." I scoot over to the fridge and grab the peanut butter, handing it to Jacob, who proceeds to smother it all over his Pop-Tarts.
Oh. Ava's shoulders sag as she watches, a grimace growing across her face.
Of course, he smothers his breakfast in peanut butter.
You're disgusting.
Maddie snorts as she leaves the kitchen.
I'm going to get showered.
And I'm going to make lunchboxes. Ava swirls around and scans the cupboards.
Top left, I remind her, going about finishing the coffee I started. When I'm done, I take a seat next to my boy and open my mouth for him to share, smiling as he pushes the last bit of his breakfast into my mouth.
Go get a shower, I tell him. And he's off quickly, leaving me and Ava alone in the kitchen.
I look across to my wife, thoughtful as I devour the jar of peanut butter. I've been so transfixed in all the major things she needs to learn that the simple things, such as the kids' favorite breakfast, never crossed my mind as something to get upset about. So trivial, yet so eye-opening. 1 minute I'm high on hope, feeling the love and feelings pouring out of my wife. The next I'm being brought back down to earth by something stupid like Pop-Tarts. But, as I keep reminding myself, this is a marathon, not a sprint. I take a sip of my coffee as I watch Ava standing before the open fridge. She's still, staring ahead. I frown and set my mug down, watching her shoulders begin to jump up and down discreetly. Concerned, I get up and go to her, turning her around until I have her face. Tears are gushing from her eyes, streaking down her cheeks and splashing her T-shirt.
I don't know what they like in the lunchboxes either,
she sobs, each word a helpless croak.
Hey,
I lower my face to hers, nuzzling, coating my cheeks and her tears too. We're in this together. Stress, love, despair, and tears. Even if I'm not crying them, they're mine too. I don't get the chance to pick her up. She grabs me first, throwing her arms around my neck and practically crawling up my front. What can I do? There's no easy fix. It's just a matter of time and that fucking thing called patience. I carry her to a stool and get her comfortable on my lap, her legs straddling me, her face hiding in my chest, her tears soaking into my skin. With my face in her hair, I sigh, cuddling her close. Just giving her the time she needs to get this out of her system. It's just another part of this excruciating process. One more bump in this rocky road. How many more bumps, knockbacks, and cries are to come is daunting. But I need to be strong. The man she married. Maddie loves Marmite in her sandwiches. I say into her hair. And Jacob likes peanut butter, she sniffles, dragging her heavy head up until she has my eyes. I smile, taking her hands and holding them between our chests. I'm with you all the way, baby. Highs and lows, good and bad. I'm here by your side. To help you, to wipe your tears, to love you. I love you so fucking much, lady. I kiss her cheek, hovering there for a few seconds and hailing her into me. Never give up. Do you hear me? We have too much to fight for. Her little sob is one full of emotion and relief. Falling in love with you again was easy, she murmurs, so quietly. This, though, the children, I love them. I didn't need to fall. I just looked at them and knew. But part of being a good mother isn't just loving them unconditionally. It's knowing them inside out. What they like, what they hate. Her eyes close, her reality too much to bear, and I clasp the back of her head gently and tug her into my embrace. I feel more lost now than ever. Just the look on their faces when I get something wrong. Stop it, I order. Right this minute. I just hate disappointing them.
You don't disappoint them by forgetting what shit they like in their sandwich and what they have for breakfast. The only way you could disappoint them is by not loving them, by giving up. Am I going to have to take you upstairs and give you a reminder, fuck? I'm deadly serious, too, so she better not question my threat.
A reminder?
Looking up at me, she sniffles through a little laugh. Yes, a reminder. I stand and she slides down my front to her feet, slowly, her palms on my bare chest, her gaze there, too, lust-filled. I smile on the inside because no matter how shit the timing is, I've distracted her from her downheartedness, and for that I will never apologize. Distracting her has always been my area of expertise. I'm so thankful that's not lost. Placing my hand between her thighs, I cup her, forcing her to breathe in deep.
Jesse.
Her voice cracks with the fiery passion displayed in her brown eyes, though she makes no attempt to escape me. I drag my hand up to her hip on a smile and clamp lightly down on her tickle spot. That breath she was holding spills free, though she doesn't move a muscle. Tell me you'll never question your capabilities as a mother again, I command, flexing my hand just a fraction to give her a hint of the torture she's about to endure should she deny me. Go on, baby.
I'll never question it again.
The words pour from her mouth fast, hardly audible. I pinch down and she bucks on a sharp squeal. What was that? My smiling face gets close to her scowling face. Say it again, slowly, so I can hear you.
I'll never doubt myself again.
The second she spelled out my demand, she sucks in more air and holds it, waiting, bracing herself. I hold her on the cusp of anticipation for a few moments, before shifting my hand to her thighs again and going in for the kill, slamming my mouth to hers and walking us to the nearest wall. This weapon, my ability to bring her back around, to distract her from some of her misery is all I have, and I'll use it with no remorse or hesitation. The feel of her soft boobs squished against my hard chest, every curve she has melding into every sharp muscle on me ramps up my need. Not great when the kids are within screaming distance. Not great at all. It doesn't stop me attacking her lips with force, though. Exploring her mouth as keenly as she's exploring mine. Her fingernails ravaging my shoulders and back. Her whimpers of pleasure sinking into my brain and making my head spin with want rather than frustration. Later, I bite on her lip and tug back until it pops free of my teeth. You are at my mercy, lady. I'll die always. Firm fists grab my hair and yank, pulling me back onto her mouth. And don't you forget it. We're all clashing lips and teeth, rushed and clumsy. She thrusts her hips forward, catching my tented shorts.
Dad!
Maddie's shrill shriek lands in the kitchen with a bang and bats down my throbbing cock. Just like that.
Dad!
I fold, unimpressed, though Ava laughs, taking the edge of my annoyance. Having her to myself, albeit traumatic at times, was a rare treat. Being able to indulge her when I wanted was a blessing, especially given the circumstances. That connection was key. Not having to worry about being caught by the kids was a weight off my mind. A light wave of guilt passes over me for being so selfish. Growling, I yank myself away from Ava and push her hair off her sticky cheek. No more tears, I order, heading to the kitchen door. What's up? I call to Maddie.
I can't find my school uniform.
Me either,
Jacob chimes in, appearing at the top of the stairs in his boxers. I wouldn't have a fucking clue where to start looking for school uniforms, and I just know Ava won't now either. When she joins me at the bottom of the stairs, I half expect her to break down once more, and so do the twins, judging by their wary expressions. But instead, she breathes in and starts making her way up to them.
If we can't find them, you'll just have to go naked.
Oh, gross!
Maddie laughs, watching as Ava passes, her eyes sparkling in happiness.
Wouldn't bother me.
Jacob shrugs and looks down at me, like, what's the problem? He clearly gets his confidence from you, Ava calls, sending me a pointed look. And I grin, so fucking proud of my wife. And of my kids. Of all of them. We're a team. We can get through anything.
Chapter 45 Ava I wake this morning, like I've woken every other morning for the past 6 weeks since the kids got home, with Jesse pressed into my back, his lips kissing down my spine slowly and lazily. It's blissful. Mind-blanking. And, as always, I melt under the warmth of his mouth, rousing me from my dreams. I close my eyes again and let him take me to paradise, let my body soften and let my senses take over. The friction of our skin rubbing together takes me from warm to blazing. The feel of his morning arousal brushing my thighs and arse takes me from wanting to silently begging. The feel of his breath layering every part of my skin it touches takes me from hungry to starving. I reach back, pushing my fingers through his morning mess of hair, sighing my contentment, bowing my body into his.
"Morning, lady," he murmurs, between nibbles of my shoulder, rolling his hips into my arse. "You ready for me?"
"Always." It's the truth. My body responds to him instinctively. My need for him is unrelenting. One sharp thrust puts him inside me, deep and high, my fingers gripping his hair as I cry out, his teeth nipping the flesh as he grunts. I'm floating. I feel like I'm on cloud 9, just seconds after waking, and I know that's Jesse's intention each morning. To start my day being reminded of how wonderful we are. It really isn't necessary. I look at this man and sizzle inside. I listen to him, no matter what he's saying, and take huge comfort from the deep baritone of his rough voice. I feel him touch me and just know we were always incomplete without each other. We are one. Our bodies move in perfect sync, flowing together softly and carefully, like they're so familiar with each other. Because they are. I could never question the sense of right when we're intimate like this, even on my bad days when frustration gets the better of me, when a whole day passes without so much as a speck of a memory to encourage me on. Those days have turned into weeks. It's been 6 weeks without anything, no memory, no flashbacks, leaving me with only the scraps of what I have, of what I built before my brain decided to grind to a halt where my past is concerned. Like a cork has been wedged in the hole, stopping the flow. It hasn't escaped Jesse's notice. His keen eyes are always watching me, his ears always listening. I've given him nothing for weeks. I can see the disappointment on his face, no matter how hard he tries to disguise it with love. I feel under pressure. The only relief I'm getting is when we're making love, when he manages to blank my mind completely, or when I go to yoga with Zara. She's still unaware of my accident and condition, and that's great, because she's my other source of escape. I never feel like I'm disappointing her. I never feel like she's looking at me as if she should know something. My new friend is respite that I so need. I know Jesse and I are building new memories, wonderful memories, but every day I still stare at that huge wall of photographs in the family room and wonder where the hell it's all gone.
"Stop it," he whispers, pulling out sharply and flipping me onto my back. My heavy gaze lifts to his green eyes, eyes that scream a thousand emotions each time I look into them, reflecting worry back at me this morning. We're still us. We still have the children. I still love you, and you still love me. That's all that matters. On a swivel of his tight hips, he enters me again, falling to his forearms. The weight of him calms me, reminding me that I may have lost my memories of this man, but at least I still have him in the flesh. The unrelenting pain that strikes me when I think of being without him is enough to tell me that where I am is where I'm supposed to be. Not that I need a reminder. Not when every fiber of my being is telling me so. I reach for his back and run my palms across the tight planes, feeling him. That's all I need, I affirm, swallowing when he withdraws slowly, purposely slowly, his eyes on mine as he drives forward again, exact and smooth. Nothing can break us. He sweeps in and takes my mouth gently, and my legs come up to his waist to hold him everywhere I can. That's it, baby. Hold tight. The change in pace, from grinds to deep drives, has me struggling to maintain our kiss, my tongue becoming erratic in its movements, almost frenzied. You're nearly there. He pulls back, not needing an answer, but wanting to see my face when I tip the edge. Wedging his fists into the mattress, he ups the ante, mixing plunges with swivels, flexing sharply and then slowly. I'm lost in him. Amazed through my pleasure of the heights he takes me to the places where I can forget, where nothing exists except him and me and the passion we share. The sweat on his brow sparkles in the dusky light, his face beginning to strain as my release surges forward and detonates, instantly making me shake with a force, the tingling sensations too much, my flesh too sensitive. And he knows, because his movements stop, and he puts pressure where I need it, stemming the sensitivity as he comes hard, his roar suppressed, his face red with the pressure of blood rushing to his head. My internal walls grab him greedily and milk him dry, the heat of his essence pouring deeply into me. Jesse drops onto me in a heap of exhausted male, crowding me, still buried deep, where he will be for the next 10 minutes while he snoozes on me, sporadically nuzzling and kissing my wet neck, whispering sweet nothings in my ear. And I hold him and savor the moment I cherish each morning before I have to get up and face my day. I breathe into his shoulder as we settle, constricting him, getting him as close as I possibly can. In my own silent way, I'm telling him that I'm happy to remain where I am. It's not like I have much else to do. Work isn't on the cards for me just yet. I tried a few weeks ago, convinced Jesse to let me go back to my office, and he did, albeit reluctantly. It took just 10 minutes for me to realize I was out of my depth, 10 minutes of staring at the paperwork on my desk, 10 minutes of Jesse watching me from the couch while I demanded my brain to tell me what to do, and 10 failed attempts to enter my password on the computer before I finally crumpled and gave in to the fact that I was of no use at the club. I didn't like it, not one little bit, and it wasn't only because I felt so useless. That woman who works for us can't keep her eyes off Jesse, and I could see clearly that my presence wasn't welcome. I squeeze my eyes trying to remember her name. Small things, simple things that I'm learning, are slipping from my memory as fast as they're put there. Like names. Cherry. I exhale, thanking my brain for giving me the information I'm looking for. I only wish it would give me my memories, too. Am I any use at all? I scold myself the moment I question my worth, because there's one valuable job I'm doing, being a mum as best I can, though I sometimes question my ability there. Like when Jacob brought home some simple maths homework, simple equations that I know how to solve from my school days, way before the cut-off in my memory. Yet I couldn't do them. My brain simply wouldn't work. And like when Maddie and I went shopping for a dress for Rhea and Drew's wedding, I picked out many outfits, and each one was rejected. I didn't even know my daughter's style. That day is one I'd like to forget, made worse by the fact that when we flagged a taxi to take us home, I couldn't even remember our damn address. It was gone, out of my head like Jessie hadn't repeated it to me 1,000 times in recent weeks. Thankfully, my daughter saved me. But she couldn't save me from the wrath of her father when we rolled up in a taxi. I was supposed to call him to collect us, but I'd hoped that I could use the ride home to shed my melancholy mood. I did a good job until Jessie went off the handle, and then I folded crying while Maddie showed her father her wrath. It's all so fraught. We're all tinkering on the edge of complete meltdown, and my stupid fucking memory is the cause, my brain's refusal to give me what I need, what we all need, to carry on with our lives with any sense of normality. And when there are the moments like just now, moments when my brain is wiped clean of the shit tarnishing it, moments when Jessie helps me escape, and then there are moments with Maddie and Jacob, moments when I look at those beautiful kids and try to come to terms with the fact that they are mine. How lucky I am. How wonderful they are. How they can make me smile, even on my darkest days. Their little jokes about their father, how they relay the stories they know of our love affair. I could listen to them for hours. That's enough of the downheartedness today. His voice, muffled in my neck, is still stern. It's Rhea's hen night tonight. I'm surprised he's reminded me. I just know he's battling his instinct to hold me back, to not let me go. And I know he's read Kate her rights. Silly man. That woman hasn't had a drink for nearly a year. She'll be even more ravenous for some girly time and alcohol than I am. You mean to say you're releasing me for the night? I tease. I shouldn't poke him. I'm looking forward to this evening so much, just to spend some time with Kate. If he withdraws his consent, there will be fireworks. Emerging from his hiding place, he cocks one eyebrow, his lips forming a straight, displeased line. Are you testing me? I stiffen when his hand slides to my hip. Never, I say, quickly holding my breath. He gets me every time. I don't have a hope of fighting him off, his powerful body laughing in the face of my small frame. And you will be sensible, won't you? A tiny dig of his wicked fingers into my flesh jolts me, and I nod frantically. And you will stay in contact with me, won't you? Another dig, and another jerk of my body and head. And before you leave, you're going to let me pin you down and come all over your gorgeous boobs, aren't you? I can't find it in me to agree. Not that he desires my agreement. He does what he damn well likes, when he damn well likes. You want to mark me? Actually, you like to mark me. He points down his peck. I miss it. I can't help my frown. Miss what? The tidy little bruise on my chest that has kept me company for the past 12 years. I feel a little incomplete without it. The slight tilt of his head spells out his want. Suck, baby. He rolls over and points to the area he wants me. I'm bemused. But I'm getting kind of used to some of the bizarre shit I'm learning about our marriage. And to be fair, I won't deny myself a few more minutes of us in bed together. So I straddle his waist and latch onto his solid flesh, sucking him into my mouth as I look up through my lashes to his satisfied face. The man is a nut. And so am I, since I'm going along with all the madness he throws at me. Happy? I ask, inspecting the perfect purple circle. Delirious. He gets up off the bed and tucks me in. I'll sort the kids for school.